Welcome to the West Point Church Podcast. Here you can find past and future messages. Be sure to subscribe so you get updates as soon as those sermons are posted. I hope you guys enjoy it. Have a good week.
Well, you guys are looking good today. Hey, I just want to let you know, if you are a visitor here at West Point, my name is Pastor Jake. You normally don't see me. You normally see the guy in the ugly sweater instead. And Pastor Paul. And so normally I'm not here, but if you are a visitor, please fill out a connection card in the chair in front of you. We have awesome new mugs for you. If you like one, I think it was Laura that might have said this, maybe Paul, I don't know, but if you don't like to drink coffee, give it to somebody else who does. I don't have one yet. I keep borrowing one from back there. And so if you want to give me one, I'm totally cool with that. But the other thing, though, is we just want to say thank you for joining us today. And again, if you're new here, please fill that out, and we'll connect with you throughout the week. And just thank you for coming. Well, I'm excited about our message series today. Now, last year I was up in front with you guys. It was the last Sunday before we went to two services. Some of you may remember that, right? And I don't remember what it's like to not have two services. It's been great. I love two services. Now, y'all woke up today, because usually first service is half y'all in here. So you woke up and you're like, I'm going to first service. I don't know what I got planned the rest of the day, but I'm going to first service. Right? And so right before we went to two services, I actually preached out of Luke chapter 2. Kind of funny. I get to come back up, and the chapter I get to read from is Luke chapter 1. So we're going backwards, and that's okay with me. Because there's a lot to be had in Luke, but I'm just thankful to be up here with you today. If you want to open up your Bibles while we kind of get a little backstory on Luke, Luke chapter 1 is where we're sit pretty much the whole time. I have three verses outside of Luke, and we need them for today, but I just wanted you to be prepared that we will sit in Luke. How many of you have ever spent some time in kind of like a wilderness setting? See, Tommy, Paul, you're like, yeah, man, all the time. Jeff. See, I remember a wilderness setting. I was 19 years old. I actually turned 19 in basic training. I got kicked out of the house. No, I left, by the way. I left the house at 18. It was 4 days after graduating high school. I was gone. I haven't been back since. Now, I visited. I don't recall staying a night since at my dad's house, but I've left. Okay, I lied. I visited while I was in the service. But nonetheless, I left and went to basic training. And so all armed services have a basic training, and it's a time of being forced away in a wilderness, no family, no friends, no social media. And at the time, it was MySpace and AOL Instant Messaging. Yes, I am really that old. I know I don't look it. You thought I grew up with Facebook. I didn't. I didn't have a Facebook until after basic training. Thank you very much. But there's a time where I spent in the wilderness that I was without anything else. And I had two options. Either I could become kind of a bitter person in the wilderness, or I could take that wilderness experience and turn it into something even better. Well, before we find out what happened to my story, I want to find a story, something similar in the Bible where this happened, where a gentleman or even a family really spent some time in a wilderness setting. We find this in the book of Luke. We learn about a baby and a journey in this book of Luke. And the book of Luke, we found out, is kind of like a qualitative research study. Now, I like research. I'm spending a lot of time in research. I'm doing a PhD right now. And I'm spending a lot of time in understanding research. And I actually really like statistics. But this isn't the type of research we're talking about. We're talking more about a qualitative study. Luke went around and found stories and accounts of Jesus. And he wrote them down. He sat down and heard the experience of Jesus. And so we heard from last week. Anybody remember what position or job Luke had? Anybody had? Doctor, right? Not PhD doctor, but MD doctor, right? He would have been the guy, if you had a boo-boo, you went to him. Not if you wanted to have some philosophical... Well, you probably could have done that too, apparently. But he was a doctor. He was kind of an important man of his day, and he set aside his duties as a doctor to go on a qualitative research study. Now, anybody who understands qualitative, it's a lot of work because you're trying to get everything about this event. It's not just plugging in data and calculating numbers like your accountant. I mean, this is getting everybody's story and then plugging it in and figuring out what does it all mean, right? And so Luke, that's what he did. And so in chapter 1, we find him retelling the story of Jesus at the beginning of the early church and the followers of the way. By the way, you guys are followers of the way. If you read your Bible, I am the way, right? So we are followers of the way. That's what Christianity really was originally. Followers of the way. In chapter 1, we hear a story of this man named Zechariah. Now, Zechariah is kind of an interesting individual. I love his name, Zechariah, and his wife, Elizabeth, and their first baby to be born. Now, in preparation for this birth to happen, some things need to take place, and we're going to talk about those. But the reason why the birth is so important is because this birth of this baby, who we find out to be John, ushers in the presence and the importance of our Savior. If we didn't get John, would we have the retelling and the story of Jesus? John's an important character, and we're like, where did he come from? Like, why? Yeah, I thought Christmas was all about Jesus. Oh, it is. But every piece leading up to Jesus' coming was there and set in place for a reason. But we don't just start as a baby. In fact, if we look back at Matthew 3:4, this is the only time we're going to get out of Luke. Matthew 3:4, the Bible describes to us a man that becomes from this baby in Luke. It says, Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. And his food was locust and wild honey. Now, I told Joe that I had plans to do an eating contest with 5 grasshoppers and some wild honey for you guys. And I think Aaron would have accepted the challenge. I don't know for sure, but I think you might have. You'd be like, I would have been just crazy enough to say, okay, let's try this. But this is what this man ate, right? And he did not look business casual. In fact, if you would saw me on most Sundays, that's probably what he would look like. Carhartts and raggedy old sweatshirts and baseball cap, right? That's what John kind of looked like of his day. And so we see this depiction. Now, this is John as an adult. We're going to go backwards, but just know what this baby becomes. Just like we know the baby of Jesus, what he becomes. Come on. Oh, sorry. Getting ahead of myself. Yet this man was just placed here for a purpose, and the end result, he ushered in the king. In fact, let's look at Matthew 3:13-15. It says this, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by who? John. Huh. Jesus, our Savior, gets baptized by this guy who kind of comes and goes throughout the Bible. John. Now, 14 says this, then John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? Like, no, Father, I need your baptism, but you come to me? And 15 says this, he says, but Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus is it fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John said, oh, okay, cool. He consented to the fact that Jesus said, no, this is what we need to do to fulfill a prophecy that was foretold right here. So that's what we see coming. But where did this prophecy come from? Why was it such a big deal? You know, looking back around 30 years prior, most people would say that Jesus entered his life of ministry, his ministry into what we see as the life of Jesus in the Gospels, is around 30 years old or so. So look back about 30 years, we see the story of John as a baby and the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. It's found in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 18. We meet this priest named Zechariah. And both him and his wife were righteous in his eyes. In fact, if you look at Luke 1:6, it'll be on the board, that both of them were righteous in God's eyes. These were people that loved and adored the Lord, that we're with the Lord, that we're righteous. I mean, how awesome would it be if it said, you know, account of your life, and it said, and here was Jake, he was righteous before the Lord. Here was Joe, righteous before the Lord. Here was Pat, righteous before the Lord. Come on. But that's the account of these two. And Zechariah was a priest. Now, Zechariah's story continues. See, he had a duty to enter the temple of the Lord. They would rotate shifts, and just like working night watch, Zechariah got his duty. He was coming in. It was time to do it. And he got drawn the short straw. You didn't want to have to enter the Holy of Holies. Because if you had one little blameless, they'd pull that rope back. And there he was. Right? Read the stories. Anyways. And so we find this in Luke 1:9. See, he had this duty to enter, and he must have drawn that short straw. And it's because this, it says, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot. He literally drew a straw. Oh, sorry, Zechariah, it's your name. Matthias, the 13th disciple, same thing. Sorry, dude, you've been picked. And so he had the short straw. And the reason why I say it's a short straw is because while he was in there, we find in Luke 12 or 1:12, while he was in there, Zechariah saw an angel of the Lord, and it says that fear fell upon him. Now, if you were excited to go in and you were expecting to see the presence of the Lord, I have a hard time believing fear would be the first thing on you. Maybe. Okay. Maybe it would be. I don't know. But if you came with an expectation of the holiest of holies to have the presence of the Lord, would you be in awe and reverence first? Or would fear come out first? Maybe some of you are like, dude, I'm just going to be fear, period. Does not matter if I'm prepared or not. But I have this feeling, this Jake thought, by no means is it biblical, it's just Jake thought, that if I was prepared, I went in there ready to go. Kind of like basic training. Man, I'm ready to go. And I get yelled at, oh man, this is great. Instead of, oh, this is what I signed up for? But he was, if he would have been prepared, and I'm just thinking, he wouldn't have cared to be drawn for lots, he would have said, I'm going in. And then he would have came with an expectation. And when the presence of the Lord shined, or the angel of the Lord shined around him, he'd be like, oh yes, this is awesome. But instead he had fear. And so I just wonder, I have a feeling, I don't know, maybe I'll ask him when I get to meet him someday. Zechariah, were you ready to go in there? Were you really ready? Did you have an expectation of what was to come? And so the fear was around him, fell upon him. And so after that, the angel reports. So we find out who the angel is. If you continue reading on, that it's Gabriel. And he reports that Zechariah and Elizabeth will bear a son. His name shall be John. I love it when God just says, nope, I know you like picking baby names. It's always fun looking up that baby book. But I'm sorry, I got one for you. In fact, I think that's what happened to Matthias. I really, truly do. Our son named Matthias, not the 13th disciple. I'm pretty sure God gave it to us because Matthias means God with us. Gift from God, excuse me. Emmanuel's God with us. Matthias means gift from God, and we had lost a baby, and around the time that we found out we were pregnant with Matthias would have been the time of our second baby's birth. And so it was like, hey, no, I have a name for him, and here's your gift, right? And so that's the same thing. Gabriel's like, hey, no, I have a name for him, and his name is going to be John. And so Zechariah's like, yes, awesome, and he left, right? Well, if you read your Bible this week like Pastor Paul asked you to do, if you did, you would have found out that wasn't the case. In fact, Zechariah took a play out of Abraham's playbook. He said this, how so? I am old, and my wife is advanced in years. Now, gentlemen, don't call your wife old. But advanced in years apparently is biblical, and it's okay, and it happened twice. So we're good. Right? For I am old, and my wife is advanced in years. And Gabriel's like, man, I just want to come and bless you. I wanted to come and tell you what the Lord is going to do in your life. And because of your disbelief, I'm going to shut you up. Now, guys, have you ever been speechless? Imagine 9 months of speechless. 9 months of not being able to communicate. 9 months of holding in what God has prophesied over your family and what Gabriel came and brought that prophecy over your family, not being able to share it with even one. Now, he was writing things down. In fact, if you read the account, he's like yelling on his scribe and stone going, no, his name's going to be John. And everybody's like, why the heck John? Like, there's nobody in your family named John. He's like, no, trying to etch this thing in there and stone, because I doubt they had dry erase boards then. And so he was trying really, really hard to tell them, no, this is going to be John. And so, but he spent 9 months, what I would have called, in a wilderness. In isolation. If you've ever had your senses and then lost them, you know what that feels like. And if you've ever watched those videos where they put the glasses that allow kids who are colorblind to see color for the first time or to hear for the first time, I can't even help but cry along with them with that excitement when you gain a sense back. Or not even back, maybe you just gain it, period, for the first time. But imagine here is Zechariah coming out of the temple with no more voice. He went in with one. He came out with none. Right? And so he spent some time in the wilderness because of that disbelief that he had. Now, we continue on. This prophecy also included the filling of the Holy Spirit onto John, this child. Now, prior to Jesus coming, the Spirit of God, we see people empowered by the Spirit of God. Samson, for a momentary thing, right? Pastor Paul and I were talking about this. How crazy this story is, because you can only have one of God at the same time. And so how is it that before Jesus came, people are being filled with the Spirit? Not empowered by the Spirit, but filled with the Spirit, right? And I don't know this. I don't know everything about this. I am not the expert on how this happens, but it blows my mind. And I wonder, God, what's going on? How does this happen? Because it wasn't for a moment that John was filled with the Spirit. It said that he would be filled with the Spirit even in his mother's womb. Huh. That doesn't sound like you need it for a moment, unless it's like exit, stage left. And he'd be filled with the Spirit to make sure I make it out. This is early on that it's prophesied that he'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. But what's awesome is it doesn't stop there, because it even says that the Holy Spirit came upon Elizabeth. See, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit in Luke 1:41. That's awesome. Now, not is it only that John, as a baby, is being filled with the Spirit, that the baby is giving something back to mom. Usually it's the other way around, unless he gets sick. The Holy Spirit now is on Elizabeth, and even Zechariah wasn't left out. See, after the birth and the naming of John, Zechariah regains his speech, and he's filled with the Spirit to prophesy. Luke 1:67. And I love how you see the accounts of these filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, when Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit, this is probably one of my favorite stories of John. Elizabeth is visiting Mary. Now, if you didn't know who Mary was, let me help you out, okay? So Mary is the betrothed of Joseph, which is just some dude in the Bible, but kind of an important dude, right? And Mary is the one who gets to carry the Savior of the world. She gets to carry the Savior of the world. And so Mary and Elizabeth meet. And the child inside of Elizabeth flips around in her belly. Now, I know my wife has felt it. Some of you ladies might have felt it. When that baby decided to flip at about, 4 or 6 months old, did you notice it? Yeah? How about like 8 months old? Did you notice it when that baby flipped? You're like, that baby isn't supposed to flip yet. Oh, whoa, hey, there it goes, right? When they're ready to go, you can really see them out. But John is filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit upon him identifies that the Savior is in the room. From utero to utero. That's pretty amazing. That John, from the second that he meets Jesus, he knows what he was called to do. See, the cool thing about John is it doesn't stop there. See, the last verse that we arrive at in Luke chapter 1 is kind of one of the more important verses in Luke, I think, in the end chapters. See, in Luke chapter, I didn't write down my verse. It's 80, there we go. Pull up 80. It says this, Luke 1:80, and the child grew and became strong in spirit. And he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. So we already know that one person in our story has spent some time in the, what I would have identified as wilderness, isolation. Zechariah did, right? But here's another man who gets to do that. Now he's born, and it says that he grows. He grew and became strong in the spirit. The child grew. This is John, by the way. We're talking about John still. And the child grew and became strong in spirit. Now, does this remind you of anybody else? Does this little passage remind you of anything else, any other story in the Bible? Who's that? Who? Jesus in the temple, right? It said he grew in wisdom and stature, right? He grew. And that's one thing I like about John. There's this connection, mirroring almost of John and Jesus. Now, John knows, and I believe, and he knew it too, by the way, he's not as important as Jesus. Remember that we said in the beginning, John's like, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. He knew where he was supposed to be. But there's some mirroring here, I feel like. See, he grew in spirit. But he was in the wilderness. Now, does that happen anywhere else in the Bible? I know of at least one other time. Now, maybe you guys can help me. Some of you are pretty good theologians out here. But did that happen anywhere else in the Bible? Juan, where? Yeah, Jesus goes out in the wilderness. When does he do it? He was led, but when does he do it? Right before what? His ministry, right? Before he really starts. Am I right? Come on, help me along here. Here's Jesus going in the wilderness for preparation for the most important years of his life that we get to see, and because of what he did and why he said yes to that, we got to reap the benefit. He fasted, but he was in the wilderness, right? That moment, John spent his entire preparation years where? In the wilderness. Now, he didn't come out looking too pretty. By the way, camel hair and locusts and honey already had some funny faces. Why would you eat locusts? But he was in preparation for one moment. Now, the rest was important. It was important work. I'm not trying to downplay what John did. And even afterwards, what John did was important. But there was one piece that made all the difference. And that he got to be the witness of the coming of the Savior. That at that moment, Jesus' ministry would kick off and go. And it was almost like John saying, I get to pass off this, what I've been preparing for, to the one that should be walking with it. But he had to go through the wilderness first. See, what we need to remember, and sometimes it's hard, is that we can be going through wildernesses too. And there's a couple wildernesses that you've gone through. One might have been on purpose, like your purpose, like you did it to yourself. Zechariah was a great example. See, I don't think he needed to be mute. He didn't have to be that way. And I don't think God said, hey, when you get down there, find a reason to mute Zechariah. We want him just done, right? I don't want him talking for 9 months. Just find a way. Make up a reason. I don't think God did that. I think Zechariah called that wilderness on himself because of his what? Disbelief, right? He could not just accept this awesome story that he was going to be able to take a part in, right? It's almost like false humility. No, God, you wouldn't choose me. Why would you do that? Instead of going, oh my gosh, like, you chose me and my family? Thank you. Right? So we have, maybe you did it, maybe your wilderness, you did it on your own. And that happens, dude. I've done it. I've been in wilderness moments where it's like, Jake, you messed up on this one. Right? And then there's those that God calls you to. You maybe don't notice it right away. Maybe it's a lifelong wilderness season, meaning that, man, I know pastors that, and I've known lay people and people that serve in churches, but I know pastors that could be CEOs of multi-million dollar companies because they have, the leadership ability in them is so great. And yet God had called them to pastor a church, to love people and to shepherd people. And to some, maybe that looks like a wilderness. But yet God has called them to that place. And they said yes. And they're doing exactly what the Lord has called them. And they've forsaken everything else to do it. You know, get back to my story. I was going to basic training. Now, I knew I was supposed to be in the military. But I didn't know when I was supposed to leave. I said, God, I don't want to go, by the way, until the end of summer. Because here's my plan, God. Here's my plan. But then I was praying on my way to the recruiter's office. I said, Lord, literally out loud, by the way, I'm 18 years old, speaking in my truck, so it might look a little weird. I said, Lord, if you are calling me to go, I need to see you as real as this sign in front of me that I'm passing right now. So I'm headed to the recruiter's office to sign some papers saying I would leave 4 days after I graduated. And I'm like, God, there's no way I want this. Like, but I'm going to do it. And that night I get home and my dad gets home from work and we're talking at like 10 o'clock at night and he goes, hey Jake, I got to show you something. And we go in his room and he's a Harley guy and he's got Harley everything. And if you ever have those guys or if you're one of those people, you say, oh, I have a Harley. And then every gift afterwards become Harley attire because they don't know what else to get you. So it's just like, and that's what happened to my dad. And so he had this calendar, this block calendar made out of wood. So you flip the dates and the month and it says Harley all over it. It's only about this big. And he's like, let me show you something. Walk in there. And it's caked in dust. Because of course, like every Harley piece, you don't have anywhere else in the house to put it besides in your corner of your little bedroom area. And so he has it in his room and it's caked in dust. Has not been touched since it was given to him. Probably. And it says June 14th. As real as a road sign that was my date to go. And can I tell you, those weeks in basic training, they were the wilderness. For me, that was my probably first experience of it. And yet through it, the Lord had brought me closer to him than ever before. And if only I would have looked back and said, I knew that was going to happen. I would take more. Right? So we can either look at our wildernesses and say, man, I'm going to be bitter. I'm going to get worse. When we take that moment to press in and allow it to prepare me for what God has called me, prophesied me to do. I believe that Pentecostals are prophetic. Dr. Gordon Anderson is just like, Pentecostalism as a whole is just prophetic. It is what it is. And so we can either walk in that prophetic and that wilderness, knowing that something is to come, or we can just be bitter or even usher it in on our own. Right? We have those choices. And so my challenge to you is this. It's just a simple challenge. Is that when we look at our wilderness in front of us, instead of asking, what is it or why? I mean, we can do that. It's not horrible to do that. I would just say, challenge yourself not to ask why in disbelief, but ask why with an inquisitive heart. Did you hear that? When you ask why, don't ask why in disbelief, but ask why with an inquisitive heart. Like, you just want to know more. I don't have enough knowledge. I want to know more. In fact, Solomon, what did he ask for? Not golds and riches, but what? Wisdom. So it's okay to desire to know more. Okay, so I would ask you to do that when you ask why. Is a know more, not because you are in disbelief. But as we focus in on this Christmas season, when we respond, may we respond to like John, who ushered in the coming of the King. We want to be the preparation for the Lord. We want to be that. Let me rephrase that. We get to be that. We get to usher in. See, in my life, I don't know about you, but I have experiences of where the Lord has changed me, made me new, created in me a new heart. He has changed my thinking. I bet if you would look at the neural pathways of my brain of prior to 15 years old to now, of course, I would have grown and matured and yes, all that. But there is some neural pathways that are different just because the Lord has changed my mind. I believe it. But see, just because I spent that doesn't mean that I don't get to then go prepare the way for other people to see and hear that. This is the time, this is our season that we get to do that. Now we get to do it year round and it's amazing and all that fun stuff, but you guys like to do it more when there's a Christmas tree up. And you get jolly songs to sing about. And I get that, it's cool. You like Christmas music year round, that's cool. December 24th, December 25th, maybe on the 26th and let's kill it. All right? Unless it's our worship team, because they do it great. But I want you to take an opportunity this season to think about that. Think about your wilderness experience. Think about the opportunity that you get to be part of the prophetic story of Jesus and usher it into those around you. And I had a hard time thinking about, and it's probably because I don't get to hang out up here very often, and my closing stuff back there, Pastor Paul is actually preaching to the kids, second service. My closing back there is like, okay, guys, let's do a brain drain and recount, like talk about all the things that we just talked about. And so my closing is already always set. It's the same thing every time. And if not, we play like Night at the Museum or something. I mean, my closing is the same, and up here it's a challenge. Because here's the deal, like, how do you close out this message? You just say, hey, love you guys, get gone, see you next week. Do you come in and ask the worship team to come back up and sing a song? And maybe, you know, if Michael wants, we could do that. But or do we just get an opportunity to pray and to ask God to show us where our story fits in with the coming of the King this year? Where our story fits in and where our wilderness, our preparation that we spent hopefully all year, maybe just this week, where our preparation sets in to say, Lord, where are you calling me to prepare the way for you this season? Is it my home? Is it in my own life? Is it with my children? Maybe it's with that sibling that you're not connected with anymore, a coworker who doesn't believe. Where is it? And so maybe, Michael, would you come? Just, I think maybe this is what we should do. I want us to just spend a time of worship in heart, but you in prayer. Saying, God, where are you calling me this year to usher in your presence? You know, I don't want to be like Zechariah where my disbelief of you becomes like I'm muted through the wilderness. I want my life to be more like John where I'm prepared for what you're calling me to do this season. Now we only have, I mean, what date is today? The 8th? To the end of the year, is it 31 in December? I mean, we have just few short days left of this year. How are you going to finish out 2019?